Welcome to the Gastric Health Show, where we help you achieve the happiest and healthiest version of yourself by motivating you to eat, move, sleep, and think better. Welcome to the Gastric Health Show. My name is Dawn Boxall, and I am your host. And I am glad that you have joined us again today. And hopefully you are gaining valuable information by listening to these podcasts every week that we release. Hopefully some of you are joining us on our Facebook Lives as we discuss similar or the same topics that we discuss in our podcasts. If you aren't familiar with me, I've been a bariatric dietitian for over 20 years and have counseled tens of thousands of weight loss surgery patients pre and post-op because I have been fortunate to work at one of the larger weight loss centers in the country, and it has provided me a valuable experience, I will say it to the least. It has been a remarkable experience to be allowed to counsel this many patients over time. So you can find me at WLSgutHealth.com, and that website has tons of resources, free recipes. It has, all kinds of things that are very unique to weight loss surgery patients with a little bit of a twist. I am a bariatric dietitian, but I'm also a bariatric dietitian that functions, or that I really kind of treat patients in a functional medicine model. And really all that is just you take the best of modern medicine and the best of alternative medicine and merge it, and that's functional medicine. And that's where I'm a little unique in this bariatric world, that I've just learned to apply functional medicine principles to my patients over the last several years that has allowed me to get some really, really amazing results for them. So that's, go to my website, find all kinds of information on WLSgutHealth.com. Sign up for our recipe newsletter. Every week we send out a new recipe and keep you up to date on any of the new stuff that's going on with us, and just a great way to stay connected. And then if you really want to interact and get in a community where we have like-minded people who are seeking out, health information after weight loss surgery and how to do it and do it, so that it's permanent and forever, that's where you would want to get into our Facebook group. And that is the Gastric Health Club. So if you go to Facebook and just type in the search bar, Gastric Health Club, that'd be a great way to get involved with other people in our group. And all you have to do is ask to join and answer a few questions, and you are in. So hopefully you will join us there. And we're excited to have you. But we have all kinds of conversations and, just interactions with people who are excited about changing and doing life differently. So today's topic, going into some of what we're going to be chatting on, and this one's going to be kind of unique. I will say this twist of functional medicine is really this whole podcast, because I'm bringing out things that you probably have never maybe even heard of, maybe even thought of, or even know a healthcare professional that could even know what to do with that. So I'm going to definitely challenge you. And these are things that are pretty they're not familiar with most people on stalls. So these are things that are more at the root cause and lie at kind of the foundation level of what's disrupting your whole body and causing this issue with, you know, weight stalls or weight regain. So my best advice is if you connect with any of these six items that I talk about, I would encourage you to seek out a functional medicine practitioner and help you get to the root cause of what is maybe driving all of the symptoms and driving, you know, this issue with weight stalls and weight regain. So in 2018, I will have this available on my site that I can work individually with patients. And we'll have the ability to do lots of things for you and with you. So I'm super excited about launching that next year or here in a few months probably. But I'm excited about offering that. We've had a huge demand for this request, and I didn't realize it was going to be something I'd have to leap into as soon as I am, but I am thrilled to offer that at some point very soon, as soon as we get all the, you know, the technology figured out and how to offer you things that are relevant and can get you to the next level of your health. So stay tuned on that. Sign up on our email newsletter, and that will keep you connected on when that is available. If you find that you need that resource, I would always encourage you to also go to the Institute for Functional Medicine, and they have a whole list of practitioners in your area that you can meet with them live, one-on-one, and that's a great way too. So either way, I think is you know, kind of necessary if you're kind of struggling and you're not getting results. And that goes out from the obvious. So, you know, today's topic is six secrets all Ruin Y and VSG need to know about ending a stall. So these outside of the obvious of you're eating junk, you're just not even trying, you're not even putting any effort, you know, you're just living on fast food and quick, convenient meals, and you're not really taking care of yourself, you know, if those are pretty obvious, and you're not at least walking or doing some type of movement, and, you know, you're just not taking care of yourself, I mean, start there. Definitely start there. This is for the people who are already doing it. They are eating like they should. They are drinking the things that they should. They're exercising. They're taking their vitamins. They're following the rules. And they just can't seem to move, you know, or budge their body out of the stall that they're in. This is for those people. Or if once you clean up your diet and clean up your activity and you're still having issues, revisit this, because this may be one of the drivers of why it is that you are struggling so much. So these six secrets. So the first one, first I'm going to say, you know, stalls in general are not uncommon. Especially, you know, when you lose weight rapidly, you're not going to just, you know, blast through, you know, 100 pounds unless you're super high on the scale. So if you're in the 400, 500, 600 pound range, you are able to bust through 100 pounds in a few months. Totally see it all the time with, you know, patients that are that on the, in those numbers, you know, in, gosh, 8 to 12 weeks, they can lose 100 pounds. So especially men. I won't say women really, but men for sure. So that, you know, kind of goes with the territory. Your body has to have some adaptation time. So if you're going into weeks and months of your weight's not moving, but you're really doing it. You are doing what you're supposed to be doing. And you've been on my website and you've listened to the podcast and you've made changes, because I share lots of things that many people don't maybe understand or limit you at, or tell you to not eat or to add in because they have impactful benefits. So get on my website, WLSgutHealth.com, and listen to those podcasts. It's so simple. All you got to do is scroll down and there's a little play bar, and all you have to do is just press play and you can listen to it right there on your computer or your phone. You don't have to have a podcast app. You can literally just listen to it from our website. So that's what I would say, you know, first and foremost, you know, learn. Find out if you do need to dig in deeper, or do you just need to clean up your act and pay attention and take care of yourself. They're not uncommon, but if they're lasting long and you're not budging, then there's more to the story. So the first one that you would want to think about is nutritional imbalances. So vitamins, minerals, even protein or essential fatty acids. If you're low in those, then guess what? It's going to impact your ability for your body to actually function like it's supposed to. So you have to correct them. And I will say we check pre-op all of our patients who have had that are going to have any type of surgery. We check all their vitamins and minerals. So we have a baseline. We know exactly what it is that we're dealing with after surgery. Now, in a perfect world, the idea would be all those get corrected before you go into surgery. And realistically, those, it just doesn't always happen. Sometimes it will, but not always. So we might be dealing with nutritional deficiencies after you've had surgery that were pre-existing. So that's where you need to, you know, get with your bariatric team and ask them, okay, did I have any nutritional deficiencies going into surgery? And maybe we need to be more aggressive with correcting some of them, and you might have to supplement some things on the side just to get things back up to par so that your body has all the raw material it needs to actually work. So that's one thing I would encourage you to do, is really just find out where you stand with your vitamins, minerals, and your proteins and your essential fatty acids. Find that out. And then something simple you can do that does a lot of work for you without having to take any additional vitamins and minerals. So think of this, more is not better. So just mega dosing. Like I had somebody just last week that came in and she had had, oh gosh, I can't remember if she had a sleeve or a Roux-en-Y gastric bypass. And she had just decided she was going to take 4 multivitamins. She was like, I just want to be healthy. So I increased from the 2 that you recommended, and I'm taking 4 of them. And that was like the worst thing you could do, because all it does is create imbalances in other vitamins and minerals. And I have seen this firsthand. So, you know, boosting more of certain vitamins are definitely not the answer. And you need to do calculated, you know, increases in things based on results, not on a guess. There are some things that I can guess based off of symptoms. If I have somebody that their insurance isn't going to cover it, or they don't have the funds to get the blood work done, then if their symptoms are just on fire for this deficiency, it's simple for me to, one, push those food items that are rich in that vitamin or mineral, and then you know, maybe do a month or a bottle of something short term to see if it corrects our problem. But my go-to solution across the board is a probiotic that has a prebiotic. That is pretty much my go-to. Is one, let's work on the gut. Let's work on fixing what's going on there, because guess what? Our intestines, our colon, makes vitamins. So I can correct things. If your intestines are working correctly, guess what? I don't have to give you extra vitamins. All I have to do is let your colon go to work and support it. So probiotics that have prebiotics in them, that's an awesome start. And then the second thing is digestive enzymes. So digestive enzymes, if you are having lots of bloating and gas and belching and heartburn and just lots of digestive symptoms, then probably a digestive enzyme would be a good start. And that will also allow you to absorb more nutrition. It's going to provide the whole package deal that allows your body to kind of balance out like it's supposed to, so that you can absorb more nutrition. So that is, to me, the simplest go-to. I don't have to be worried about making those recommendations. And then bottom line is eat whole real foods. Get rid of the junk. Take out all the packaged, processed, prepared foods and quit going to fast foods as your go-to when you're in a pinch. Go to the grocery store and at least, you know, get from the salad bar or buy a rotisserie chicken and a bag salad or something instead of going to the fast food. Find some solutions. You know, do some freezer meal prep and throw things in the freezer that you can easily cook. Get an Instant Pot that you can cook a meal in 20 minutes. Any of those things are ways that you can change the root cause of it without really having to do a whole bunch of pills and a whole bunch of crazy things. That doesn't mean you may not need to, but it's a simple start. That's the easiest way to start. The next one is your gut bacteria or your microbiome. When those are imbalanced, guess what? You definitely could be having issues with weight stalls or weight regains. Those definitely connect to your ability for your body to work. So, quick, easy things you can do. Definitely probiotics that have prebiotics. So put that good stuff in so that you are changing the environment. So by putting good bacteria in with probiotics, what that's going to do is allow your body to have build up that army of the good guys instead of having an imbalance with too many bad bacteria that have taken over, and it creates, you know, a big issue with your body actually being able to metabolically work correctly. So then you want to make sure your probiotic has a prebiotic in it, because that's food for your probiotics. So you want to make sure it has that in it. And then also digestive enzymes can help in this area, because that is allowing your body to have the food broken down into the right particles so that it can be absorbed and, you know, correctly digested, and that will make a difference in your gut bacteria. So if you're putting in things and it's undigested and it gets to your intestines and it's all, you know, in unabsorbable forms, then it makes it difficult for your gut bacteria to not get out of balance. If you have all this undigested food, guess what? That can be fuel. If it's the wrong food, it can be fuel for the bad bacteria. So that's where you got to make sure that, one, you're making good food choices, but two, you're also allowing your body to digest the food with the digestive enzymes if needed. And then, you know, just eat whole real foods so that you're feeding the good bacteria. If you do a lot of packaged, processed junk foods, guess what? You're feeding the bad bacteria. So you get to pick. You're feeding your army every day, and you get to decide, am I feeding the good guys or am I feeding the bad guys? So the good guys, guess what they like? They like lots of veggies. The bad guys, they like lots of sugars and carbs and junk. So, and when those get out of balance, guess what? You crave those foods. You crave that junk food when the bad guys are in control. So you've got to kind of overtake them with your food choices and with putting in the probiotics and the prebiotics and all that will put it back into balance. So you can also do fermented foods. So think of sauerkrauts that have been fermented, not the ones on the shelves, but things that are you actually find at the health food store in the coolers. So if you buy sauerkraut that is on the shelves, that has no live bacteria. The ones even up by the deli area, the deli meat counter, those are not fermented. Usually they'll say they'll have a word of raw on them, and that means that they are fermented and actually have live bacteria. You can go to our website, WLSgutHealth.com, and I actually have a recipe on there on how to make sauerkraut. It'll cost you about $1, take you about 20 minutes to make it, and it'll take about a week for it to be ready, before it's ready. So it's super simple, and you can do it for next to nothing. So it'll save you, you know, $6 to $7 when you make it yourself. And then healthy fats provide good information to your gut bacteria, and it helps balance it out, as well as the veggies. So those are things that you want to make sure that you're doing. The next thing is inflammation that can be a connection to weight stalls or even weight regain. So if your body has lots of inflammation and you're having, you know, joint pain, you're having all kinds of skin issues, you're having even headaches, you're having digestive issues, lots of bloating or gas or you know, just anything that you're stomach hurts, those can all be a sign that you have inflammation in your body. And you can ask your family doctor. There is a lab test that you can check, a basic one that is pretty easy and should be covered by most insurance companies, and that's a CRP, a C-reactive protein. And that's something simple that you can easily do from your family doctor, and then you'll know, hey, do I need to attack this inflammation in my body? Because sometimes you think, oh, I'm just getting older. It's just, you know, part of where I'm at in my, you know, age or life cycle, and really, it shouldn't be. Guess what? You really shouldn't feel a lot of aches and pains and discomfort as you get older. Actually, you should feel good for several decades, more than what most people realize. So if that inflammation in your body is, you're not sure if you have it, get a CRP done and find out. And if it's high, then guess what? You got some work to do. You've got to get the inflammation down. And those are things that you can, you know, you can do with a whole real foods diet by just eating the right foods of, you know, vegetables, fruits, and good meats. All those things are going, they're anti-inflammatory. There are specific foods that are even more anti-inflammatory, like turmeric and ginger root, and those are great things to incorporate into your daily life to help with that. But some other things that calm the inflammation is probiotics and then fish oil. So the omega-3 fatty acids, so buying wild-caught fish and doing the ones that are rich in omega-3 fatty acids, like a salmon, or you can do mackerel. There's also the anchovies or sardines. Those are great sources of omega-3s, and that you can easily do, you know, pretty much any time after weight loss surgery. Seafood is highly tolerated early on. So anytime you're feeling like, oh gosh, I don't feel great, then maybe you need to increase those anti-inflammatory foods. So really focus on calming the inflammation, and that's where, you know, think of your veggies as kind of a fire extinguisher. So the more veggies you get in, the less inflammation you're going to have. The more fatty acids, the healthy fats that you do, that's kind of the same thing. That's like a fire extinguisher for inflammation. So make sure you're doing those basics. Then the next one is environmental toxins. So this can be a big driver for people when it comes to weight stalls and weight regain. And these are things like infections, like you have, those are under my inflammation. Sorry. So another thing on inflammation is your gut infections. If you have any gut infections, then those can also cause inflammation. Some other things that can cause inflammation are mold toxins. So if you have mold in your house or at your work, those can also cause inflammation in your body. And then the environmental toxins, which I'm getting ready to cover. And then food allergens, so things that your body is intolerant to. The most common, there's six common ones, and that's like wheat, gluten, dairy, soy, corn, seafood, and nuts. Those are the biggest allergens out there, with the top two being the gluten and dairy. Those are your top two. I can remove those from people and pretty much solve all their problems. So those are my big ones that I focus on a lot of times, because they are highly intolerant to us and cause lots of inflammation for our body. And it can manifest in gut inflammation, but it can also manifest in skin, skin rashes and skin problems like eczema, psoriasis, those type of things. And then also it can not brain fog and all those can be associated with those food allergens. So sorry about that. I missed those on my inflammation. So make sure that you keep those in mind as maybe a driver of why your weight is stalling. And you're looking at, you know, do I have any infections going on in my body? So check with your doctor. You may have to have some stool tests, and they check for parasites or C. diff if you're having lots of diarrhea or something. Those can be drivers of it. Or, you know, just the environmental things that you're exposed to could be disrupting your gut and causing all this inflammation. So on to the environmental toxins now. And those are things like plastics, phthalates, BPA, heavy metals, pesticides, and all of them can interfere with your metabolism. And there's actually a word that has been they named these toxins because the ones that actually mess with your metabolism, they're called obesogens, because they actually are the driver of why you are not losing weight or are gaining weight. So you'll definitely want to pay attention. And when I did this in my house, I got rid of all our plastic. And for me, estrogen is always the issue. I always have, my body doesn't metabolize it well genetically, and I have to support my body in a way so that it can detoxify all those estrogens that my body can't do very well. So the first thing I did is I got rid of all the plastic. So those glass jars that my coconut oil comes in, we from our beekeeper that we've used that we get raw honey from, I keep those jars. And guess what? That's what I put my food leftovers in. I don't use plastic to store my food in. And that helps get rid of the BPA, and it gets rid of the plastics. And, you know, even the alternatives to BPA that they're not really sure that they're great options either. That helps, you know, improve that. And then I just kind of cleaned up, and I didn't do this all at once. This was just kind of over time. I cleaned up, you know, my lotions, my shampoos, my conditioners, my dish detergent, my laundry detergent, all that stuff, my cleaners. I just, over time, I slowly just changed what I was purchasing. And that makes a huge difference in, you know, those obesogens that you don't even think of. You don't even really think about them being a driver in messing with your metabolism, but they are. They can be a huge factor for people in making that your metabolism not be able to function correctly. So a good place to go is the Environmental Working Group, and that's EWG.org. E as in elephant, W as in, oh gosh, Woolly, and G as in green, .org. And the Environmental Working Group is a great place to go. They have a list of the Clean 15, and those are the fruits and vegetables that are the highest in pesticides. And then they have the Dirty Dozen, which are pretty low in pesticides, and you really don't have to buy organic. And it's a great place to go to also get a list of, you know, the good choices of, you know, shampoos, conditioners, body lotions, you know, cleaners, dish detergents, all those. You're going to get a list of those that are don't have phthalates and don't have other hormonal and metabolic disrupting properties. So not an area that a lot of people think about. So those environmental toxins, sometimes you just can't control it. And it's around us everywhere. So just minimize it as best you can. And over time, you just slowly start replacing things. And before you know it, your house is converted and it's simple. So if you have the resources that you can dump it all, get rid of it all and buy all new, awesome, do it. If you can't, just do it over time. And, you know, within a year, you'll have your whole house transformed. And it would be worth it because you're going to get rid of those things. So those are kind of your big, easy things that you can do. Go to the EWG.org, Environmental Working Group, and that's a great way. Also, you can avoid eating a lot of big fish because the big fish like tuna and swordfish, both of those are pretty high in mercury. So stick with the tiny fish like the sardines or the anchovies. Those are a lot better, or salmon, those are a lot better when it comes to the mercury content. So you're at least limiting the amount of mercury that you would get from seafood. So that's what I would say. Also, you can buy a skipjack tuna. If you really got to have tuna, buy skipjack tuna. And that is the least amount of mercury that you're going to be able to get out of a tuna if you really want tuna. And I think even Aldi's sells it, and it's like pole jack or something like that. It's sustainably, the way they catch them is the most healthy for the environment, and the way that they take care of them is a better option. So you can also, you know, your water, making sure that your water is filtered. That's a way to protect yourself from those environmental toxins that get dumped in our water, in our rivers and all that our water supply comes from. Increase your fiber because that will help you poop every single day. And that is key because guess what? That's how you detox, you know, sweating with exercise, pooping every day and not leaving that in your body, those toxins in your body. That's the smartest way and simplest way to get rid of all that so that you're not reabsorbing all those toxins again. And also cruciferous veggies. So bok choy, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, cauliflower, kale, cabbage, all those are cruciferous veggies. And those actually have a component in them that actually supports your body's own natural detoxification process. So our liver and our kidneys detox for us every single day. And all that those cruciferous veggies do is support that process already. It's supporting the liver so that you can do it on your own. So that's a no-brainer. Just increase those cruciferous veggies. Go to my website, wlsguthealth.com, and guess what? I have several of those recipes on there for those cruciferous veggies, and that's a great place to get started so that you are, you know, changing the environmental toxins in your body. So the next one is your metabolism. Think of your metabolism as, they're known as really your mitochondria. So what do you do to protect those mitochondria? One, you eat whole real food and you get rid of the sugar, you get rid of the packaged processed junk, and that will fuel those mitochondria. That will provide them with the resources and raw material they need to actually be able to provide your body with energy. So they are your powerhouse. So if your mitochondria are sick or damaged or injured, guess what? You are not going to feel fabulous. So your energy is going to be poor. And that's where you've got to, you know, change your diet and avoid the junk because those are the things that damage it. And then protect your gut bacteria. Take a good probiotic. Eat fermented foods. Make sure that you're feeding your gut bacteria with the right things. Because guess what? They feed into and help manage your mitochondria or your powerhouse of energy. That's where all your energy comes from, is your mitochondria. So, and then exercise. So exercising will boost your mitochondria. So that's simple. Just make it a point that you are doing that. Some every day, a little bit every day, and you're good to go. And the last one is hormone imbalances. And this is something I see frequently. And that can be your thyroid. It can be your stress hormones. And it can be your sex hormones. So think of, you know, hypothyroid. So you would want to have your doctor test more than just a TSH. It would be your full thyroid panel with your T3, reverse T3, T4, the antibodies, that whole package deal. And that will help you know if those are your drivers of, you know, dysfunction of why you're not losing weight or why you're at a plateau. Then food-wise, the things you can do is really think about selenium, zinc, iodine, and omega-3 fatty acids. So zinc, that's your meats. Eat, you know, which you guys are really good at. I don't think that's too hard for you. You just eat your meat and you'll have the available resources. And then as long as you're digesting it well, so if you have to start with some digestive enzymes, add them in so that you're actually able to absorb more of that zinc. And then selenium, think of your Brazil nuts. Those are high in selenium and a great way to get optimal amounts. I think it's only like 4 or 6 Brazil nuts a week is all you need to meet your selenium needs. So it's not a whole lot. And it's pretty simple to do. Iodine, the best is like in kelp and those type of things. Now, this is one, I do have hypothyroid and I do take an iodine supplement because it's hard to get enough of that. And that's where you'd want to talk to your healthcare professional to find out if you're low and if you need that support or not. And then also there's tons of evidence on this, on a gluten-free diet actually supports a thyroid better. Even if it's hyper or hypothyroidism, gluten is not your friend. And you want to get rid of it. There's lots of issues with eating gluten if you do have hypothyroidism or hyper. So you could be diagnosed with, you know, Hashimoto's. It could be Graves' disease. It could be just hypothyroidism is what they've diagnosed you with. And that's where you would benefit from a gluten-free diet. And then when it comes to your, you know, your stress hormones, you would be looking at cortisol, your DHEA. Here's where, you know, learning how to manage your stress with meditation or yoga or, you know, things that even exercise, all those will help decrease those hormones, those stress hormones, so that you're not, so your body isn't so overwhelmed and it can't do its job. So that is, to me, something simple is just controlling your stress and you're at least calming down those stress hormones and allowing your body to not be out of balance. So hopefully, you know, hopefully that makes sense. But that is all 6. So 1 is nutritional imbalances, 2, your gut imbalances, inflammation, environmental toxins, your metabolism or your mitochondria, your powerhouse of energy, and then your hormone imbalances. So all those six are things that you can look at as a driver of why am I not losing or why am I regaining. Those totally can be the driver. And if you fix them, guess what? You're not going to have any issues. And you will soon find that, you know, maintenance is not complicated. Maintenance is pretty simple, and you won't be going up and down, and then up and staying up, and then up and down, and then up and staying up. That's what you don't want. So it's just giving you evidence that something you're doing or something in your body is not doing its job, and it's just finding that cause and fixing it. So hopefully I have given you some new things to think about on this for sure. And go to our website, get signed up at WLSgutHealth.com. Get signed up for our newsletter so that you can be notified if you need to get in with a practitioner to help you understand and apply this to your life and see what is the driver. Or go to the Institute for Functional Medicine and find a practitioner to work with in your area. And then go to our Facebook group, the Gastric Health Club, and get join that group so that you can, join the community and get involved and get an area that you can get lots of questions answered and get a good understanding of maybe what shifts in your body that you can help manage on your own. So I hope you all have enjoyed today's episode, and we will see you next week. Have a great week. Bye-bye.